All right, welcome back to a new Talera Talks episode. It is very, very exciting to be here one more year with you. It's the first episode of 2023, and we're back with more tips on business English communication to help you advance in your career, get that promotion, or land a new job. And I am very excited to be here doing this with Simon. Simon, how are you?
I'm good. Like you mentioned, a new year, very exciting. It's great to you know, keep doing this again another year. I think last year was just really an amazing experience of all the different guests and all the different topics we covered. And I think we totally went past our expectations of, you know, how many people we would have listening and downloads. And so, you know, all of the great feedback we've gotten has just been really, really a great experience. And yeah, you know, we've had people writing in, asking for us to cover certain topics, people asking to jump on as a guest. So, you know, keep writing in. It's really exciting to kind of start a new fresh year for 2023. And we have an interesting topic that I think is very timely. What will we be talking about today, Paula?
Yes, so we're talking about New Year's resolutions and how to stick to a new habit. I don't know, Simon, is it New Year, New Me for you?
It definitely is. It definitely is New Year, New Me. I think every year, and we just kind of talked a little bit about this, every year I do kind of around the new year, around the holidays, try to have like a big reset, right? Like I sit down and I kind of think about the past year, how have things been? Kind of try to get my thoughts in order of, okay, what do I want to accomplish next year? What do I want to add or take away? And I usually add in a couple of new habits or things that I'm trying to do. And you know, whether those are successful or not, we'll see, you know, when we reflect at the end of the year. But usually I try to add kind of some habits. What about you? Do you usually add a resolution or a habit that you try to add?
I do. It's that fresh start effect. I don't know if you've heard of it, but it's that mentality that we have at the end, usually at the end of the year, or it could be at the beginning of a semester for students. And it's almost like, okay, now it's the time where I reflect on what happened and to add in some resolutions. And I do that for this year. I guess I have too many, so I might have to prioritize, but one of them is to find time to learn for myself. And you know, I love psychology and I'm studying this bachelor's degree, and that's one for me of like finding the time to not only learn to pass an exam, but to actually learn to we talked to Lavinia from Offbeat Works, and she talks about the importance of reflection and just having the time to really reflect on what we've learned. That's one of my resolutions for 2023. What about you? What are yours?
Yeah, so I as well have a few. One of them has actually been around, yeah, time for learning. And one thing that's very clear to me is that if it's not in my calendar, if it's not down on my calendar, then it won't happen. So I use a Google Calendar and basically block off time. And I'm going to be more proactive in doing that for my own personal development. And so, you know, I speak Danish, but not to the level that I would like to. So I'm kind of almost mirroring many Talera students where I speak Danish, I can get by, but I want to speak at a more kind of professional level. So I'm going to be focusing this year on working with a teacher and improving that. So, you know, that means putting down time on my calendar. That means, you know, prioritizing that. So I'll be doing that. Also, there's, you know, general things about, yeah, you know, little habits here and there that I want to pick up on, start doing. I'm going to start journaling this year. So that's a, yeah, I just had my first journal session yesterday. So that is a habit that I'll be trying to take on. And yeah, so we have some statistics about habits, though. You know, most people don't actually keep their habits. They don't successfully keep their New Year's resolutions. Like, it's only around 9%, right? And then it's kind of crazy how fast people actually like drop off of these resolutions, right?
Yeah, it's I mean, only 9% successfully keep their New Year's resolutions is not really, really high. And we also have these other numbers here. 23% of people quit by the end of the first week. So if you stick around, you're already better off than most people. 64% after the first month and 81% before the end of the second year. So that's that's pretty high. But the goal here is to, we did a lot of research and we looked at, you know, what experts say about sticking to new habits and keeping your New Year's resolutions. And that's what we're going to cover today, giving specific tips that worked based on that research, but also based on our own experience and what's worked for us, what's worked for our students. And I'm excited about this topic.
Yeah. And it's the biggest thing that we find with our students who succeed and ultimately make that, you know, progression in their careers is sticking to it, right? Is the consistency with showing up for sessions with their teacher, not rescheduling 20 times, right? But like actually putting in and prioritizing that time. We see those students, they always have a greater, you know, impact in their learning. And so this is what, these are the kind of the tips and the tricks that we see work. So let's dive into them.
Yeah, so I guess the first step would be to understand the reasons why we fail. And a big part of it is because we lose motivation. 35% of people attribute losing motivation as the top reason for giving up. And we've talked about this many times on this podcast. I remember an episode that we did with Inat when we talked about how to become fluent in English. And one of the most effective strategies is to enjoy the path, the process, your learning journey, so that you don't lose motivation. We'll talk about different ways to keep that up and not lose motivation, but that is definitely one of the reasons why people fail. People are too busy. That's the second reason. I can relate to that. But do you think that that is I guess the question is, do you think that is a good enough reason to give up?
It comes down to prioritization, right? Like being too busy. And look, you know, I'm not married. I don't have children. So, you know, this is maybe easier for me to say than others, but I do find if I put something down on the calendar and I really am disciplined and in stopping whatever I'm doing, you know, to if I have this thing at 5 o'clock, I know I need to be done with work by 5 o'clock, then that means that I'll actually work more effectively in my time up until that 5 o'clock start or stop time, because I know this is, hey, like I'm going to do my training session. I'm going to meet with my teacher, right? So yeah, yes and no, right? There are some days when it just is, it's too crazy and you have to do it. But I think being too busy, like there's a kind of a two-time rule where you should never miss two times in a row, like whatever it is, a training session or something like that, because then it becomes you're building a bad habit there of missing, mm-hmm. right? So you should never reschedule a session more than two times in a row, right? At least make it on that third one, right? So that's kind of what I try to keep in mind.
Yes. Also with, I mean, this is one of the main reasons we hear from learners, I'm too busy, life got in the way. And I think it's important to remember that you can do anything. You just cannot do everything at the same time. So setting priorities and really understanding, okay, what's important for me is what's going to make a difference. So those are the main two reasons why people give up. you know, on their New Year's resolution. One is they lose motivation or they're too busy. So how can we keep our New Year's resolution? Let's yeah. take a look at some effective strategies that we think could make a big difference.
So this first one is understanding the why, right? Like, what is the actual motivation for the change, for the new habit? And I think not, if your first thought is like, oh yeah, I'd like to start doing this, right? Just because it's nice or it would be a cool thing to add or something like that, you know, the chances are that the discipline it'll take to keep that is going to overpower the nice to have kind of attitude. But if you really start to think about like, okay, what is the underlying motivation? If it's serious enough, if it's deep enough, then you're more likely to stick to it, right? So that actually means like maybe sitting down and writing three reasons, like why do I really want to start taking English lessons? Okay. I know that, number one, I know that if I really improve in the next year, I'll have a better shot of, you know, advancing my income X percent, right? And getting a raise, right? So that's number one reason. Number two is I'll have more professional opportunities, right? And number three is I'll do whatever thing, right? And having those down and really considering them helps you kind of push through those barriers, right?
Yes. And I think it's also super important that those goals, or not goals, but those reasons are meaningful to you. And it's not just about, I'm supposed to do this, right? It's not just, oh yeah, I'm supposed to develop, you know, or grow professionally. Yeah, but why? Why is that important to you? Why now? And how is that going to make your life better? Or how is that going to make you feel better? So yeah, I love that. Having that list of the three main, or even just one, but sometimes starting with three because one can be a little bit intimidating. Just having a list of like, these are some of the reasons why I need this change, or I think this is important. So yeah, that's one. The other strategy or mentality shift that makes a big difference is setting specific and challenging long-term goals. So you can start with the big picture. And if you already change these long-term goals, there's this book, The Art of Nonconformity. And I love this quote that I'm just going to read out loud. We tend to overestimate what we can complete in a single day and underestimate what we can complete over long periods of time. And it's just, it's crazy to think, to see how amazing small daily steps taken over a month or a year can add up to significant life changes. And it's interesting, right? Like sometimes we think, oh yeah, what I can complete in a single day is much more. Like I have a journal, I have an agenda, and then I tend to add a lot of things. And I think, oh yeah, I'll have time for this and for this and for that. And then I'm sometimes able to complete 50%. So there we tend to overestimate. But then I don't believe that I can, you know, I do sports and sometimes I feel like, oh, I'll never be able to do a muscle up, for example. Yeah, but if you do that, if you do small things every single day, then you don't know how much you'll be able to accomplish. So yeah, that's one. Do you feel like people think long-term that way?
I think people want to think long-term that way. It's just like investments or anything like that, right? You know, the long game is not as attractive initially, but you tend to see kind of better results over the long term, right? And I brought in this other book, The Slight Edge, and that kind of as well talks about that compounding effect, right? Doing the small things every day, you know, are actually an investment in your future. And I view it a lot of times like that, like as an investment. I'm doing this thing as an investment in my future, right? Like whether it be exercise or eating healthy, this is all just like investing so that, you know, I'll see the returns of this at some point. And it's hard to have that. We call that delayed gratification. It's hard to have that. And that's where you need to write, appreciate the process. And if you enjoy the process, then, you know, then it'll make it a lot easier. So enjoy it while you do it. The next point is, you know, so you have the kind of, you've thought about the challenging long-term goals. Now you need to consistently set small and realistic short-term goals, right? And this is where you have a great visual of like what showing up daily looks like. And for those of you just listening, I mean, it really is like, you know, what we think it means, and it's 10 circles all filled up. It's like you're showing up 100% every day, but what actually showing up daily means is, you know, some days it's going to be at 40%, some days it's going to be at 80%, it's going to be even some days at 20%, but you're at least showing up, you're at least doing the thing, right? And that's what consistency looks like, right? And then, yeah, you have that there, the two-day rule, right? So don't miss twice.
And I think this works, and it's worked for me, and it's worked for many of my friends and students. And it is very overwhelming to think that now you're going to need to give 100%. And sometimes you don't feel it. And yeah. If we go back to sports, for example, it's sometimes you're tired and you don't think that you'll be able to do much. And yeah. Just putting your clothes on and going to the gym or whatever you usually do, it could be like the yoga studio or the street if you're going to go for a jog. Just building that habit of I'm just going to show up. And if it's 5 minutes, it's fine. It's fine. But you're just building that habit of like, this is my moment, and also making it your moment. We talked about enjoying the process. When you build a new habit, it has to become part of your identity. It has to become part of you. It's like, now I am, if we talk about business English training, now I am part of this, you know, competitive workforce, and I can compete in the global market. And so I'm part of it. And this is what I do to enjoy the process. So it has to be something that you enjoy and that you can do in a sustainable way. And that is part of your identity. So yeah, what you said, don't miss twice, helps you build that habit. And even if you cannot give 100%, just being there is going to make a huge difference.
Yeah, no, the identity part is huge. It is so huge. If you identify yourself as, yeah, I'm an athlete, I exercise, it's what I do, it's who I am, right? Like, that's going to be much easier for you to go and even on days where you don't want to, but like, okay, but this is who I am, right? I'm someone who brushes their teeth every day, right? Like that's what I do, right? That's someone who I am. And also same with our students. It's like, we see those students who are like, oh no, this is, you know, this is part of who I am, right? And this is what I do. So yeah, we definitely see that a lot. All right. So, now we've set these goals, we're, you know, consistent, but then we need to learn how to set goals and how to manage those expectations, right? Because one of the big mistakes a lot of people do, you know, early January is to set some huge goal. And then, you know, our expectation is by the end of January, I'll be doing this, this, and this. And then when we get to the end of January and we don't, you know, we don't actually make that goal, then we drop off. We, you know, we're dead. I want to have 6-pack by week 3 of January. Let's go. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, well, let's think about that. So how do we set a SMART goal? What is a SMART goal and how do we set it?
Yeah. So SMART goals, I think most people are familiar with what it stands for. They need to be specific, measurable, action oriented, realistic, and time bound. So how specific? Well, you need to have that specific image in your head of like, what is it exactly that you want to get? And you have to be able to measure them. So for example, learning English is a very, very vague, it's great. It's a great goal to have, but it's very vague. So it could be, I would love to be able to speak up my ideas, or, you know, to perhaps your goal is to have one session of one-on-one training with a teacher. And how measurable? Well, I will have one session every week for the next 3 months. How action oriented? Well, it is about being able to speak up in meetings effectively, or to have to pass this interview process. They have to be realistic. As you said, you cannot have a six pack yeah. in a month, but you can learn how to do like little by little, like this month, break it down into actionable, more like manageable steps. And time bound. So just saying, I want to learn English in general is vague and overwhelming, but just saying within 3 months, I'll be able to, and just have different milestones.
Yeah.
There's also this smarter goals where you add the exciting and relevant, the ER, exciting and relevant. I think that also makes it's those little ingredients that make a difference.
Yeah. So I, to add to that, right? Like, I think also when we're talking about a specific goal, sometimes it can be difficult with English training. But one thing that some of my students have done is said, okay, I want to be able to stand up in a meeting or to give a presentation, and I want to feel like this. And they actually really like embody the feeling, which means they like kind of put themselves in that scenario in the future and to think about how that feels to stand up confidently in a meeting and, you know, present. And then that is the goal, like to have that specific thing. And I recently had a student who said, you know, I got there, right? Like I did it. I had a meeting and I stood up and I did it and I felt confident and I was answering questions and yeah, I did it, right? And they reached that goal, right? So that's a cool thing to see, is like, you can also attach it to a feeling of like, that's what I want to feel about that. Yeah.
I love that. That's true. Yeah. The feeling of confidence and being part of the conversation. I tell you, we always talk about joining the conversation. Sometimes you feel like an outsider when we hear this. Yeah. When I'm talking with a group of all native US Americans, then I feel like I'm out of the conversation. So just being part of it, joining the conversation, is what I want to achieve. I think it's also important to accept that you will be disengaged, and that's okay. And there will be tough times. And even applying all the tips that we have here today and many others you may come across, understanding that there will be slip ups and you will want to give up, and just understanding that and learning to live with it is what's going to make you resilient and saying, okay, yeah, that's fine. But at least I know that I'm not going to miss twice. And then I know that I'm going to show up every day. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we talking about statistics, we read there's a study that said successful individuals are likely to experience 14 slip ups during a 2-year interval. So yeah, if you're willing to experience 14 slip ups in the next 2 years and still stick to the new habit, you're doing.
And that doesn't mean using all your slip ups in the next 2 weeks, right? The first 2 weeks is just one big slip up. No. No, that's interesting. That's fascinating. I think, you know, going just one more point about like managing expectations and how we do that is also think about how we design our day around these habits or goals that we want to create. And we can talk about like friction and how that plays like with both bad habits, but also good habits. So if you're trying to stop a bad habit, one thing you can do is add more friction around that bad habit. So like friction is kind of it makes it more difficult for you to do that, right? So like, I think it was like maybe a year and a half ago, I realized I was just kind of like sometimes mindlessly scrolling on Instagram, and I kind of was getting sick of it, where I was just like, I'm just spending my time just looking at stuff on Instagram. It's like, it's not that fulfilling. So one thing I did was I deleted it from my phone, and like, I only have it on my laptop. But like when I'm on my laptop, like I very rarely go into Instagram and look at it. It's like, okay, you know, it's, mm-hmm. That's fine. I just check it and then I go, but it's, you know, maybe 2 or 3 times a week and that's it. So that's really been a kind of exercise of adding this friction, right? Make it more difficult for you. And then on the other side, you can do things to make the habit easier for you to do, right? So if you know that you're super tired and just mentally exhausted every day at 5 p.m., maybe don't schedule your English session for right after work when you're just mentally, you know, completely done, right? So maybe think about, you know, how you can schedule it during your day possibly, or even in the morning, right? When you're sharp and you're fresh. And when you do things like that, you're actually making it easier for you to continually do them because it's an enjoyable experience, you know, while you do it.
Those are great tips. There's a great book that also talks about it, Switch, how mm-hmm. to change when change is hard. And they talk a little bit about friction and other, it's highly recommended. Switch, and they talk about that. So I love that you brought that up. Great, so that was a bit about learning how to set goals and manage expectations. What about making it part of your, you were talking about friction and how to reduce friction. One way to do that is to create space for that habit or for that hobby or for that new goal. And one way is to, yeah, create, if it's learning, create a learning calendar that works for you. And we talked, we mentioned Lavinia from Offbeat at the beginning of this episode, and we talked about how she always talks about the importance of having time to reflect, and that's part of it. So always make sure that you make time for first learning and then applying and then reflecting and then just bringing it all together into your actual life.
Yeah, that's a tough one, that kind of reflection piece at the end, because very often it's like, okay, I planned to do the thing, then I did the thing, and now it's complete, and now I just keep going, right? Mm-hmm. But actually stopping and saying, let me just sit here and think about this, or like journal a little bit about it, that's really difficult to kind of switch your mindset of adding that into the learning process, but very important. Yeah,
but if you treat it as, this is what needs to happen for me to build this, setting, like being honest with yourself and trying to create a plan from almost from the outside and being a little bit analytical about it, because then your more emotional side will come into play on a day-to-day basis. But at least for the planning stages, be a little bit cold-minded in the sense of, okay, what needs to happen and when is this going to happen? Because if you think, oh yeah, at some point when I feel like it, I will schedule a session with my teacher, or I'll go to the gym. That has happened zero times for me. And having that schedule of like, I know I work out in the morning and I work out at 6 a.m. That's what works for me. And then I know that that's it. That's when I have time for it. If I don't do that, I know it will never happen. So just find the time that works for you. Do you have a learning time added to your calendar, Simon? Or have you seen if that works?
I do, but it's embarrassingly small, the amount of time. I think it's like 2 or 3 hours out of the entire week, like out of the entire working week, where I actually like commit to reading about like HR trends or adding different like learning things or seeing what else is going on that, you know, may work well in Tolera. Maybe it is like around 2 hours a week, but it's like it's very little. So maybe 30 minutes a day that I'm just scanning articles or scanning things. And it's usually at the end of the day, and it's usually like a relaxing kind of thing. But there's little time to reflect on that, like what I've learned. And I think, I think adding that in will be important for sure.
Yeah. And I guess here it's in a way, a trial and error process where you start with, you know, I read this post on LinkedIn that said you should do this 30-40-30 approach, where you do the thing for, you're trying to improve at 30 minutes a day, straight 30 days. I don't know if that will work for everyone. I don't know if I have 30 days in my month to work on whatever I want to work on. But just having that schedule of like, what is something that you can commit to that is not intimidating, that you feel like, yeah, this is a time that I know I'll be able to do it. And it could be, I don't know, for example, if you're a person that wastes 30 minutes on Instagram, for example, then you could say, okay, those 30 minutes will be something that I use for this new habit, for example. But if you don't, then if you really don't have 30 minutes, perhaps 10 minutes works for you. But just creating that part of your week, or saying, yeah, on Mondays, I'll start with 30 minutes. But then I know that Thursdays are really tough, so I'll just commit to 5 minutes, and just understanding what works for you that is sustainable and that doesn't feel like climbing a mountain and, you know, where it's just like, oh, and you're dreading that moment.
Right.
So understanding that adding up, even if it's just like 5 minutes, and you may think, yeah, but 5 minutes, or like, what am I going to do with 30 minutes? During 30 days, that's actually 900 minutes in total in just a month. And that's a lot of time, and you can really improve just with those 90 minutes. So just having that blend of intensity and consistency, and that's what leads to progress.
And then, right, yeah, reflecting on that progress and seeing what really worked, right? And then you can make tweaks from there, right? But again, making it sustainable is and fun, enjoying the process is so critical. Okay, good. What else do we have for all of our motivated listeners out there?
Yeah, so truly understanding that sometimes it's about this mind shift. And sometimes we think, okay, I don't have time to learn. Well, what about thinking, for example, with business English training, we've talked about this many times, it will save you time in the long run, or it will make you a more productive person if you're using it for your job, for example. Sometimes you may think, oh, I have pressure from managers to perform, and that's the negative, idea. Then you can turn that into, well, if I do this, it will enhance your career. So having that mentality shift from the negatives to what can be achieved, the positives, that growth mindset, always having that growth mindset, is what's going to help you stick to habits.
And I think about that a lot when we're thinking about like learning new things is, you know, you have to go through zones in your learning. And one of the zones is this friction zone where it is uncomfortable, you know, where there is like fear involved, where there is this transformational shift. And a lot of people get to that zone and then they kind of dip their toe in it and then they stop and then they go back, right? Mm-hmm. But really, like you said, you know, I have this pressure from managers to perform or to, you know, add this new way of my working, viewing it like that view versus, you know, this is an opportunity for me to grow as a professional and to really, really go to the next level. It kind of, shifts the mindset, like you said, to, okay, yeah, this is going to be difficult and scary. And you know, there's some fear involved. But if I push through that, I will, on the other side, be a more well-rounded professional.
Yes. And having, I listened to the Huberman Lab podcast. I think he's a fantastic neuroscientist and he does a great job at sharing information related to neurobiology. And one of the episodes he talked about was also on goal setting. And we've talked about having that positive mentality and having positive goals. Like, it will enhance my career. It will save me time in the long run. It will make me more productive. That is great. But it's actually, there's been some papers that indicate that also having the negative goal that you want to avoid is also a very, very powerful tool to avoid or to prevent you prevent that from happening. So for example, saying, I don't want to lose my job, that's a negative outcome that you want to avoid. Having that in mind is also effective. So having both this is the positive goal that I want to go after and the what will happen if you don't do that. Yeah. Like, I don't want to lose my job. Or with sports, I want to be fit and healthy and look great, but also I don't want to be that grandma or grandpa that cannot move. It's like, ooh, that's exactly very right. Scary. And so having both, I know it doesn't sound very optimistic, but it is effective in terms of sticking to a goal and having that image of both in your mind.
For sure. I tend to more often use the scary, like negative consequence one. And that tends to get me going more so, but I totally agree.
And then just a final, some final words on sticking to habits is that there is a way. You just have to find the one that works for you. And I hear from our learners, but also from friends and people, you know, that we work with, that past experience sometimes prevents you from reaching your goals. So for example, if you want to improve your English and you did not have a good experience learning English at school, that doesn't mean that your learning experience always has to be like that. No. Or if you want to be healthier or work out more often, perhaps you did not enjoy that in the past, but that doesn't mean that it has to be that way. So trying new things, understanding what works for you, how you like to consume content or learning materials or whatever your new habit is, just finding that enjoyable path and process.
Yeah. And that's what we try to do with Talera, right? Is like, we know the whole kind of model of like, oh, we're different learning types. Everybody's an individual, right? Everybody mm-hmm. learns in a different way. And that's why we really focus on, if your way of learning is through podcasts and listening, well, then here you go, you have that. Or if it's through one-on-one with the teacher, we match you with someone that has that specific, you know, idea and outlook on how you could best learn. So yeah, finding what works for you. There is a way out there. That's the important point, is there is a way out there for you to reach your goals. And I mean, it's always a great moment, this kind of reset moment. And definitely I'll keep you guys updated on how my Danish learning goes. It'll be a challenge, and I'm looking forward to it. And it'll be a great year.
I am looking forward to it as well. I'm very excited. Yeah, that's also like, we truly understand that enjoying the process is so, so important. And that's why we put so much effort into finding the right teacher for each learner. So if you decide to go for one-on-one training, really understanding, okay, what are your interests? What is your style? Some people feel like they need something more relaxed. And so we have great teachers that are able to add a lot of value through more casual conversation versus others who are in a way much more structured. And there's no right or wrong. Or perhaps you want to work on, you need someone who has, a background in law or in, you know, some sort of legal background, and they understand how the industry works. Like, having an instructor that gets you is going to make a huge difference. And here we're talking about English training, but it applies to having a coach if you want to train, like a training coach that understands your goals, your limitations, your inspirations, your ambitions, is, you know, having that person that does the whole thing with you is crucial.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. All right. So everyone out there listening, you know, consider how your day is going to be set up around these habits or goals that you want to add in this year, and think about how to do that strategically, right? So give yourself this kind of fresh start, but make it last, make it sustainable, and make it something fun, make it enjoyable, which is going to help you kind of stay on track. Paula, anything else before we wrap up today?
No, we'll just keep working on our monthly webinars. Our next webinar is very soon, next week. And so, check them out. Let us know if you have any suggestions on different topics that you would like to learn about. And keep learning.
Yeah. Keep learning, everybody. Keep learning. And as we go into this new year, there's going to be so much happening. So stay tuned, subscribe to the podcast, check out the website, and let us know, like Paula said, if you want to learn anything different, we're here. So have a great rest of your day wherever you are. And as always, keep learning.
And that's all we have for you today. We hope you enjoyed it, and remember to subscribe to Talera Talks. We'll be back soon with more.
And visit our website at talera.com for more valuable content on business English. You can also request a free consultation on the best ways for you and your team to improve your communication skills. So have a great day and keep learning.